From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 10th, 2017. And on this day, Attorney General Janet Mills announces she will run for governor next year. And we'll look at an effort to help students understand the real cost of college. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Maine Attorney General Janet Mills ended months of speculation today and announced that she will run for governor. Mills is the fourth Democrat trying to replace Republican Paul LePage, who terms out as governor in 2018. Mal Leary has more.
After filing the necessary paperwork to run for office, Mills made her decision official in a press release. Although the primary is not until next June, she says she needs to start raising money now and getting her message out to other Democrats in the months ahead. Mills says as she's traveled across the state to participate in forums and meetings, she's heard a clear message from Mainers.
They want a leader who unites rather than divides the people, someone who'll bring people together. We've seen in recent weeks especially a failure of leadership at the top here in Augusta. We've seen leadership that thrives on polarization.
In an interview with Maine Public Radio, Mills repeatedly criticized LePage's policies and behavior as governor. The two have often clashed on issues, and LePage has filed a lawsuit against her for refusing to represent him in federal court. Mills points out that her office is independent of the executive branch and that she was elected by the legislature. She says her campaign will focus on her record as a district attorney, a state representative, and as a three-term attorney general.
I've taken on the Wall Street giants, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, the big pharmaceutical companies. I've worked to protect consumers and citizens across this state, and I want to carry on that effort in the highest office of the state.
Mills acknowledges that it will be challenging to run for governor while continuing to serve as attorney general. But she says she's up to the task. She'll run as a traditional candidate because of what she says is insufficient funding under the Clean Elections Law to mount a strong campaign using that mechanism. As a Democrat, Mills will be facing off against Adam Cody, Patrick Eisenhart, and Betsy Sweet in the primary. There are also two Republicans, a Green and a Libertarian, who have announced plans to run for governor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The ACLU has filed a federal lawsuit against President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and the Commission on Election Integrity over what it describes as a lack of transparency. But Maine Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap, who serves on the newly formed commission, says there's no effort to shut out the public. Patty White has more.
In its lawsuit, the ACLU says the commission held its first meeting without public notice or access and has failed to make transcripts and other records available to the public. With its second meeting a little over a week away, Zach Hyden of the ACLU of Maine says he wants a judge to intervene to ensure the proceedings are open.
And that the committee itself isn't influenced by partisan concerns.
Hyden says the lawsuit also alleges that instead of being formed as an independent advisory committee as required by law, the commission's purpose is to legitimize Trump's claim that once illegal votes are subtracted from the presidential election, it will show that he, not Hillary Clinton, won the popular vote in 2016.
The true threat to our elections right now is voter suppression, not allegations of voter fraud. But throughout our history, people have used the myth of voter fraud as an excuse to further suppress the vote. And that's what we're really concerned about.
Maine Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap says he and other members of the commission are not attempting to shut the public out of its process. That first meeting, he says, was a conference call that dealt with administrative tasks.
The first thing they said when they started the conference call is that we can't talk about anything of substance on this call because it's not open or public. And which I thought was actually rather encouraging that they wanted to conduct the work of the commission in an open and public way.
Dunlap says he's concerned that the ACLU lawsuit delegitimizes the work of the commission before it even starts. Dunlap doubts claims made by President Trump that millions of people voted illegally in last November's election, and he thinks their findings will show that.
If you want to dispel it, throw some facts at it.
The Commission on Election Integrity's next meeting is scheduled for July 19th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
U.S. colleges, including seven in New England, are now offering a new and easy way for applicants to figure out how much their education might actually cost. It's a website created by an economist at Wellesley College. He says he hopes it helps students realize college sticker prices are usually misleading. Fred Tice has the story.
The average published price for tuition, fees, and room and board at a private American college this year was $45,000. At some elite colleges in Massachusetts, it's much more. At Amherst and Wellesley colleges, for example, the published cost is $69,000 a year to students entering this fall. At Williams College, it's $68,000. At Boston College, it's $71,000. But those are the sticker prices. The real cost is usually less.
By my calculation, something like 90% of households in the United States would qualify for financial aid, which would bring their price down below the $70,000 or the big numbers that you typically hear. Most people would not be expected to pay that amount.
Wellesley College economics professor Philip Levine wants more students and parents to realize this.
The $70,000 or the big numbers that you typically hear. Most people would not be expected to pay that amount.
Determining the actual cost of college confounded Levine, and he's an economist who teaches at a college.
I couldn't figure out how much I was going to have to pay for college for my kids, and I thought that that was a little bit odd. It seems like there should be a system which, if you want to know what it's going to cost, people should be able to figure it out.
Most colleges have calculators on their websites, but they require you to pull out your tax forms. So Levine created My Intuition. It's a website that allows you, in just a few questions, to figure out what you'll actually pay to attend Wellesley College. Levine reports that about three-fourths of students pay within $5,000 of what My Intuition estimates. He says accuracy is higher for lower-income students. It's worked so well that 15 colleges now incorporate My Intuition in their websites. Wellesley's Dean of Admission and Financial Aid, Joy St. John, thinks she knows why.
We recognize that many students, quite frankly, are scared away by our sticker price. And we need to be able to quickly communicate to families what the true cost would be for them. And our ability to do that in particular helps us in recruiting, we believe, low-income and middle-income families.
Colleges can catapult low-income students out of poverty. It's something Gregory Chin, a first-generation student from Philadelphia, knows firsthand. He dropped out of school after sixth grade to help his parents. He educated himself in the years he was not attending middle and high school and is now a student at Tufts University.
I think the job of colleges and the privilege and the honor that they have is being able to be the main force that bridges the socioeconomic divide between this country, because they really are the equalizer.
But colleges can't provide social mobility if students think they cannot afford college. Here's Wellesley's Philip Levine again.
There are students who are making decisions that are not in their best interest because they do not have correct information, and we're just trying to correct that.
Most high-achieving low-income students do not apply to any selective college, even though research shows those colleges typically cost them less than community college or less selective colleges.
We live in a society that where income inequality is very high, that levels of social mobility are very low, and that steps that we can take that can enable people who are at the bottom of the distribution to find a way to jumpstart the process and move up the ladder are things that we should think of as good things.
Attending Amherst was actually cheaper than attending a public school for me.
Amherst College student Mei Zhao from Nampa, Idaho, who'll be a senior this fall, found she got a much better offer from Amherst than from public universities.
Most public schools offer loans in their financial aid packet. Amherst doesn't offer loans, so that helped.
Amherst College is among the colleges that use Levine's cost estimator.
The sticker price is neither what it costs the institution to educate a student, nor is it what students and families actually pay.
Biddy Martin is president of Amherst College.
It costs Amherst and colleges of Amherst's type somewhere in the neighborhood of $90,000 to $100,000 a student to educate them with all expenses in. And the sticker price for tuition, room, board, and fees is in the $60,000 plus range.
$69,000, in fact. A large percentage of students, or their parents, do pay full price at Amherst, about 40% of students. But most students receive financial aid, and they pay, on average, $15,000 a year. And for the lowest income families, Martin says attending Amherst comes at very little cost.
For the highest need students, we provide full aid, no loans in the financial aid packages, and will cost the highest need students less than $5,000 a year for whatever needs they have once they arrive.
Back at Wellesley, Philip Levine adds that even the average cost is somewhat irrelevant.
I would argue that what the question we really want to know the answer to isn't what the average cost of attendance is. It's what does it cost me? Well, for my family, what is Wellesley College or any other school going to cost my family?
Levine has written about how important it is to get high-achieving, low-income students to understand that they can afford to attend elite colleges. Amherst financial aid is entirely in the form of grants. The college extends its generosity to students who come in off the waiting list, transfer students, and international students. Biddy Martin points out that a high percentage of Amherst students are from the lowest income segment of society.
We have almost a quarter of our student body who are Pell Grant recipients, so from the lowest income groups in the country.
Amherst is able to do it thanks to its $2 billion endowment. Not every college can do this. Most other schools that offer the most generous financial aid also rely on large endowments. But they have to be able to persuade students that the sticker price is not the real price. And now they have another tool to do it. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Fred Tice.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, July 10th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.